The following program is a paid program, and the views expressed are not necessarily those of 920 WGKA or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every Sunday night, right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And now your host, Mark Walters.
American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. I'm your host, Mark Walters, a.k.a. the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine, the official publication of the USCCA. We're broadcasting live this evening here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA from the Buckhead section of Atlanta, Georgia. Our board operator this evening is Gene, and the numbers, should you wish to participate on the program tonight, are toll-free nationwide, 888-920-2665. That's 888-920-2665. Or 770-266-0920. Again, 770-266-0920. Be a patriot, folks, and join us in the discussion. I'll do everything I can to put you on the air. Everybody, if you missed us last week, you missed a good one, as my guests included Tim Schmidt of the USCCA, Ed Stone of GeorgiaCarry.org, and the godfather of the modern concealed carry methods and techniques, Mr. Masad Ayoub. Don't fret, though, my friends. Tonight's program promises to be just as informative and even more fun as we polish the bluing and get better each and every week here on Armed American Radio. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, I'd like to repeat a couple of the mantras that we follow here on the program. First and foremost is the fact that the Second Amendment is not open for debate on this show, ever. It means what it says. It says what it means. It's been recognized as an individual right, and even the four dissenting justices in the Heller decision acknowledged the intent of the Second Amendment as exactly what the Constitution says, that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Gene, I'm hearing folks in my headset. What about that part about the well-regulated militia, huh? You conveniently forget that part. What about that, huh? You see, you gun nuts never want to talk about that part, do you? Phew, boy. Folks, if you're asking that question, go to a library, go back to school, or maybe even better yet, rent the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. You know, there's a scene in that movie where Heath Ledger goes to church and announces that the militia is forming, and he asks the men to take arms, their own arms, against the British. That, folks, is the militia, the whole of the armed populace, you and me. I'm getting a little sidetracked here, so I'm going to move on. That I can keep going on that for hours. Alrighty then, the second mantra here, folks, is simple. We will never apologize for defending our constitutionally recognized right to keep and bear arms. No apologies here, folks. Okay, lots went on this past week in Washington, D.C., not the least of which was the defection of Arlen Specter. Good for him, and good riddance in the same breath. Ladies and gentlemen, this man and his actions the past week are the reason why it is so vitally important that we be sleeping with one eye open when it comes to these dirtbags we elect to the House and Senate. The fact of the matter is that Arlen Benedict couldn't give two hoots about the people he represents. He's a snake in the grass of the tallest order who saw the poll numbers reflecting the fact that he was going to lose the Republican primary. And guess what he did? He knew he was going to lose his job. For that reason, Benedict Specter jumped ship, and he did it for one reason only, to maintain his own personal grip on power. Arlen Specter has just proven to all of America that he and his colleagues in D.C. of either party have no convictions and no morals and could give two hoots about anything other than themselves. Arlen Specter is an 80-year-old yellow-bellied coward of the tallest order who should do all of America a favor and retire. Good riddance to him, and thanks to him for removing the R next to his name.
You're fired.
You're darn right about that. He's going to be, too. You watch and see, and you heard it right here on Armed American Radio. Folks, there's a silver lining in the examples these congressional weaklings set when they prove their allegiances to no one but themselves. It was on display when Pelosi and Reid jumped out in front of the cameras to assuage the gun ban remarks made by our fuzzy-lipped Attorney General Eric Holder a few weeks back on the heels of his trip to Mexico to blame America for that country's inability to control its own crime waves. Ladies and gentlemen, these congressional weaklings care about nothing but their own power, their own position, and their own name, and their own political hides, as Benedict Specter so eloquently proved this past week. Because of that, and as Pelosi and Reid made clear when they immediately rebuffed Holder's comments, I don't personally believe that they have the guts to begin banning your weapons. They know that by doing so, we'll be risking their own hides. And these cowards are not willing to stand on what they truly believe for fear their own beliefs, if they are their own beliefs, will send them packing. It looks like they might not be as stupid as they appear after all. Having said that, we still can't let our guard down. And if gun sales again this past week are any indication, and they are, Americans by the millions are making the ultimate statement to the Obama administration as it seeks to expand the size, scope, and control of the federal government over our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, Americans exercising their Second Amendment rights ain't about hunting, folks. Harken back with me for a few moments as I quote, "A government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have." Now stay with me here. Second quote, "The beauty of the Second Amendment is that it will not be needed until they try to take it." That, my folks, is Thomas Jefferson, and rumor has it that he might know a little bit more about the purpose and the intent of the Second Amendment than our friend Cynthia Tucker down the street here at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, or even Diane Sawyer of ABC, which apparently now stands for Appease the Brady Campaign, and nut farmer turned failed president Jim Acosta, who last week penned an assault weapons hit piece for the worst liberal rag in the U.S., the soon-to-be-bankrupt New York Times, all the while claiming to be a gun rights supporter. Fortunately, nobody pays much attention to 21% Jim Acosta anymore. And I'll put my money on old TJ, old Thomas Jefferson, any day of the week, folks. But isn't it interesting here that while the socialist-in-chief tries to, and this is in his own words, remake America, Americans are not so quietly arming themselves at historic levels. The Second Amendment ain't about hunting, folks. Okay, on to the program, and a good one it's going to be. Tonight, my guests include Ms. Kathy Jackson. Kathy is the managing editor of Concealed Carry Magazine, author of too many columns to mention, a good friend of mine, and the owner of thecorneredcat.com, one of the most important pro-gun sites on the internet today. Kathy is also a certified trainer at the Firearms Academy of Seattle, as well as a certified Mossad Ayub Lethal Force Institute instructor. She will be joining me in just a few moments to discuss a wide range of topics. Folks, if your wives, girlfriends, daughters, or mothers are around, you may want to ask them to listen to Kathy's expert advice tonight. She's a treasure trove of information. During the second half of the hour, Kathy and I will be talking with Ms. Gila Hayes. Gila Hayes is staff instructor at the Firearms Academy of Seattle, as well as serving as operations manager for the Academy and for the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. A freelance writer, Gila is the author of the Gun Digest book, Personal Defense for Women, slated for a fall release later this year. Personal Defense for Women updates her earlier book, Effective Defense. She has articles published in Police Magazine, get this, Handguns, NRA, American Guardian, and Women's Outlook, Women and Guns Magazine, American Handgunner, Gun Week, Guns Magazine, Combat Handguns Annual, Glock Annual, Smith & Wesson Annual, to name but a few. Her instructor credentials include staff instructor for Mossad Ayub's Lethal Force Institute, certification through the National Law Enforcement Training Center, the H&K International Training Division, Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission's Police Firearms Instructor Certification, American Women's Self-Defense Association, and the NRA. Gila has twice taught at the annual training conference of the American Society of Law Enforcement Trainers and has presented at the International Association of Law Enforcement Firearms Instructors Regional Training Conference. You think she's qualified? You bet your bottom dollar she is, so stick around for the second half of the hour and listen to what she has to say. It's great stuff. We're going to get knee-deep in guns with Gila Hayes in the second half. Kathy Jackson joins me now from the absolutely gorgeous state of Washington in the great American Pacific Northwest. Hello, Kathy. How are you this evening?
I am doing just fine, Mark. How are you? It's a great day out here.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful out there. I miss it. I've sat there and broke bread with you out there, and I tell you, I love it. You're in God's country out there. Kathy, we've got a lot to cover. You know, we say here every week, we try to cram 3 to 4 hours into a one-hour program. Tonight's probably 5 or 6, no question about it. But I want to touch first with you on your website, The Cornered Cat. That is a treasure trove of information. Tell me about the inspiration for that very popular website.
Well, do you mean the inspiration for the site itself, or do you mean the inspiration for the name?
How about both?
How about both? Well, okay, I'll start with the site itself. I just kept having people ask pretty much the same questions over and over, and realized that the best way to deal with these recurring questions was if I had something prepared and ready to go. And being the sort of person I am, you know, I always had to write it out. And so I had things, I had, you know, notes to myself all over the house. And finally one day it occurred to me, that it really, really belonged online. And so that was pretty much how the site started. You know, kind of active in a lot of the gun forums, and so we'd get a conversation going there, and I'd think, oh, well, that was really good. I guess I should save that, and I'd start another page. So that was how the site, the whole idea for the site. And the inspiration that keeps me going is the emails that I get.
Was there a particular question that you got more than any other?
Well, the question that I get from guys is, how can I make my wife? How can I make my wife like guns? You know, I own guns, so how can I make my wife do this? Or even, how can I explain to her that it's okay that we have guns in the house? You know, questions like that. And, you know, if I had the answer to that one, I could make a fortune.
Yeah, you could. I was just going to say, gentlemen, if you're listening out there and paying attention, you can't make your wife do anything. So let's get that straight. But a trip to the range is a big plus. Kathy, how many hits are you getting on a daily basis on this site now? I know it's getting a ton of them. I know it is.
Well, I'm right around 25,000 hits per day. Of those, probably around 1,000 are unique page requests.
Wow, unbelievable. Listen, we're going to head out to a break here in just a few minutes, Kathy. I'm going to ask you to stick around. If everybody wants to join the program tonight, or anybody out there is interested in talking to Kathy or Gila, please feel free to give us a call at 770-226-0920. 770-226-0920, or you can reach out to us at 888-920-2665, 888-920-2665. And we'll be back after the break with Kathy and get into some more questions for her and some specific information from Gil as well. We'll be right back. Thanks, everybody.
Sacred stuff resides in that wooden stock and blued steel.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Do you want to get out of debt fast? No matter how much money you owe in credit card debt, all the information you really need is yours free when you call right now for your free debt review. When we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that we have decided to give everyone that calls today a free debt review. Absolutely free. That's right. Get your debt solution review absolutely free. Just call 800-895-0488. That's 800-895-0488 and get the free debt review everyone in debt should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-895-0488. That's 800-895-0488. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-895-0488. Again, 800-895-0488.
Now is the best time to buy a home. Why? It's a buyer's market with deep discounts on both new and pre-owned homes in Greater Atlanta. Plus, additional tax credits may apply for certain home purchases. Also, mortgage rates are the lowest they've been in nearly 50 years. So, who should you call?
Nobody knows Atlanta like Chris Monroe.
With nearly 20 years spent covering Atlanta from the ground and from the air, Chris knows Atlanta real estate like no one else. What you'll get from Chris is unmatched personal service. Call Chris Monroe now, 404-924-5520.
Hi, this is Sadie Fields. On behalf of the Georgia Christian Alliance and WGKA, I'd like to personally invite you to an exciting event May 19th at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center. It's called Obama, the First 100 Days. Featured are WGKA personalities Bill Bennett, Dennis Prager, and Hugh Hewitt. Tickets are on sale now. Just go to 920WGKA.com and look for the banner to buy tickets online. Don't miss this dynamic meeting of the minds right here in Atlanta.
No one covers your world with more insight and authority. Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Ha I'm going to go home and watch that movie tonight, that's for sure. Folks, listen up close. One of the ordinary modes by which tyrants accomplish their purposes without resistance is by disarming the people and making it an offense to keep them. Constitutional scholar and Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story, 1840. They had it going on back then, didn't they? Kathy, you back with us? Okay, let's get into the meat here. I'm at the cornercat.com right now. I'm looking right at it, and your topics here are incredibly impressive. Firearm safety, kids and guns, choosing firearms, gun care, shooting basics, running the gun, practice time, learning more, teaching others, reviews, mindset, legal concerns, ethical questions, social considerations, practical issues, holsters, gear, ammunition, for the men, just for fun, glossary, why a gun, on being a gun nut, and miscellaneous. Let's talk about some safety issues, Kathy. I think you'll agree with me, specifically guns and children, that's got to be right at the top of the list.
It certainly does. It certainly does. You know, one of the things, that's probably one of the biggest concerns that I hear from new gun owners and from prospective gun owners is, how do I keep my kids safe if I'm going to have firearms in my house? And you know, it's an important question. It really is.
You've got a lot of topics in that segment, kids and guns. Okay, childproof locks, safe storage around children. The first lesson, disarming kids' curiosity. We're going to go back to that one in a minute. Is your child ready for the range? The first trip to the range. Why a mom should take her kids shooting. Having fun with the new shooters by Law Dog. I don't know who Law Dog is, but we'll find out soon enough. Talking to older kids about firearms the way it used to be, shotguns and rifles for children and petite adults. Let's go to childproof, isn't it? what are you getting across there in that section?
Well, I really want to encourage listeners to go look at that one for themselves. Childproof isn't. I sat down and wrote it one afternoon when I was remembering all of the trouble. I have five children. My oldest child was 5 when my youngest child was born. They are all boys, and they are normal boys. Childproof isn't was my musings about all of the trouble that my toddlers and preschoolers were able to get into, literally faster than the blink of an eye. Every single one of those boys could get into childproof cabinets. One afternoon, I walked into the kitchen when all the kids were supposed to be taking naps, and I found a 2-year-old sitting on top of my refrigerator. He had climbed out of his crib. He had climbed over a baby gate. He had climbed, actually over 2 baby gates, climbed into the kitchen, opened up a drawer, climbed up the drawers like they were a ladder, and gotten all the way up on top of the fridge to get into the candy cupboard above the fridge.
Now, how do you... Okay, you're hitting home with me. I've got my son will be 5 in September. My mm-hmm. daughter will be 7 in November. So I've got them 2 years apart, okay? I'm not going to give you my secrets. I want secrets from you. Let's talk about curiosity. Let's face facts, folks. Children see guns on cartoons from the time they're old enough to look at a television set. Okay, they see it on, you know, name a cartoon where you don't see it even in kids' programs anymore today. And if they're not, they're watching cartoons they probably shouldn't be watching at that age, like SpongeBob. But the fact of the matter is that children have a natural curiosity about guns. Guns are ingrained in our culture. Kathy, how do you disarm a child's curiosity? There's a lot of people out there listening that want to ask that question. And how do you know when children are ready to talk about guns?
Well, Mark, I like to start when the child is just barely old enough to talk, when they're old enough to repeat back to you what you say to them, that's when you start. You don't wait until they're 8 or 9 or 10 years old, because by that time, you know, that's the age when they already know where you hide the Christmas presents, and they already know where you're hiding the guns, if you've got them hidden somewhere. So you don't hide the guns to begin with. You lock them up behind a lock secure enough to keep an adult out. And then when you start with the toddler, you start with the very simple basic Eddie Eagle rule. You teach them, if they see a gun, stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. And, you know, when you start with the kids, when you start teaching them that, you're going to start when they're too young to understand, and then you're going to expand it. you're gonna teach them that. You're gonna say, okay, you know, this is a firearm. Don't touch. Tell an adult, leave the area. But as time goes on, you know, the kid's gonna be super curious. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna unload the gun. You're gonna double check that it's unloaded. Then you're gonna check one more time. You're gonna keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. And you know what? The best thing to do is to let the child handle it. Let him pick it up and look at it. You know, don't let him point it in anywhere unsafe. Don't let him point it at himself. You set him up in front of a fireplace, you know, a brick fireplace that'll stop a bullet. You set him up down in the basement somewhere, and you let them explore the gun under your very careful, cautious, observant supervision. And that's going to keep the kid from being super curious, so that if he does see a gun, it's not going to be a big deal. He's going to be bored.
You know, that's, Kathy, I'm going to flip out all of the anti-gunners and the anti-freedom zealots out there right now. My child, both of my children, touched a gun at 3 years old under my supervision.
Good for you.
And my children learned the Eddie Eagle, stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. However, I added a step to that. Yeah. I added a fifth step. And the fifth step that I added was, if there's no adult in the area, to pick up a phone and dial 911 or run. Now, my children know now. And they'll tell you, why does Daddy have a shooting gun? And my kids will tell you, to keep us safe. What happens if you ever see a shooting gun anywhere? We stop, we leave, we tell somebody. And if there's nobody around to tell, we call 911. And they know it. And it has literally stripped them of that curiosity. They don't care about it anymore. But the fact of the matter is, folks, if you don't have a gun in your home, your neighbors do. Your neighbors do. So your children have to know those rules, whether you have a gun in the house or not. Am I correct there, Kathy?
Yeah, you are absolutely right. Mark, there's one more thing. There's one more thing with that stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. One of the things, as my kids get old enough to have opinions, I'll say to them, now what do you do if you see a gun and you really, really, really want to touch it? Well, they can tell me, you stop, don't touch, leave the area. And then here's the magic. Ask an adult if I can handle it. And the promise that I made to my kids is, if you ask me, whenever you ask me, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and if it's at all possible, we will let you find out about that gun. Well, you know, if the kid comes into the house in the middle of the afternoon and says, Mom, I really want to see your handgun, I'm going to drop everything that I have, and I'm going to unload the handgun, and I'm going to let him look at it.
Well, that's telling you that there's more curiosity out there that you might not have knocked out the first go around, I think.
It is.
Yeah, and if that's the case, you absolutely have to do that. It's folks that have problems that never teach their children about anything. They say, stay away, stay away, stay away. Well, we all know what happens when you tell a teenager, don't touch it.
Mm.
My dad's in the studio with me here tonight. He doesn't have a mic on, but I know he's seen it a million times, told me not to do something. I remember when he told me, you better take your bike chain with the new bike I just bought you. And guess what happened the first day I took the bike out and I didn't take the bike chain? Some cop in Ann Arbor, Michigan, 35 years ago, is still looking for that bike somewhere. And he's sitting over there chuckling. But it's true. When you're talking about a gun, you don't have that luxury. So it's very, very important that we strip that curiosity from the kids. And I did exactly what you did and what you espouse on your website here. Let's take that to the next level. Let's take the kids up a little bit older. Is your child ready for the range? How do you know?
Well, you ask yourself a few important questions. Probably the first question that you want to ask is, if your child's old enough to learn and then to intelligently follow the four universal rules of gun safety. I think most every serious shooter can tell you what those rules are. And they're all, rule number one is you treat the gun like it's loaded. Rule number two is you never point the firearm at anything you're not willing to shoot. Rule number three is you keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target. You've made the decision to shoot. Rule number four is be certain of your target and what's beyond it. Now, if your kid's old enough to explain those rules back to you, to remember them, then he's old enough to go to the range. If he's not, he's probably too young to benefit from going to the range with you.
Yeah, there's an individual maturity level that only parents know about their children. And it's important that people keep an eye on that, especially if you're a gun owner. And you know, gun owners out there that, and Mossad talked about this last week. I have a fear that a lot of people that are purchasing guns now today are sticking them in a drawer somewhere, like Massad said, and maybe not paying attention to them. And those are the people that I worry about out there. And folks, if you're one of those people out there, start paying attention. If you have any questions about gun safety or don't know where to turn, you call us at 770-226-0920, and we'll get the answers that you need. Feel free to stay on the phone with us, okay? And we will get you the answers you need, and we'll send you to where you need to go.
Now, Mark, that was only the first thing you need to know for the kids, is whether they're old enough to learn and follow those safety rules.
Educate me.
The next one is whether your child has a healthy level of respect for adult authority. You cannot take a child to the range unless and until you have taught that child to stop when you say stop. You know, I'm not telling anybody how to raise their kids, but if you're going to have them around a deadly weapon, something that's so terrifically serious, if something goes wrong, then you have to have your children understand the seriousness of it. And that goes right back to the level of responsibility that you were talking about, maturity. And then the next one after that is whether you've got good safety gear for your child. You know, children are different sizes than adults. And adult ear protection, adult eye protection often does not protect a child, a young child, well enough. So you need to seek out hearing protection and eye protection that's actually the right size for your child. But along those same lines, your child should be old enough to keep her fingers out of her mouth and her hands off her face because of the exposure to lead. And these are all just basic safety things.
Yeah, I you know, my kids have seen ammunition around the office and around. I've got a 900-pound gun safe in my house, and you know, my kids aren't around any. If they see one anywhere, if I happen to drop one somewhere, if they pick it up, they know, wash their hands, and that's so important. Spoken like a true expert. That's why you're on the air with us tonight. The advice that you're giving is life-saving advice. It truly is life-saving advice. I believe we are getting ready to cut to a break here. Gene's looking at me funny with the headphones on, and I hear that great music. I'm going to watch that movie tonight, I think. It's got me stoked up over here on Armed American Radio, everybody. We'll be back after the break with Kathy and Gila.
Go ahead. Make my day.
This is meteorologist Carl Babinski from the WGKA Weather Center. It'll be a rough night, especially for some areas south and east of Atlanta. A shower and heavier thunderstorm overnight, low 63. During the day Monday, clouds will limit sunshine. There will be a couple of heavy thunderstorms around, high 74. Monday night and Tuesday, rather cloudy with a shower and thunderstorm from time to time. Low Monday night, 58. Tuesday's high, 76. And there could be a thunderstorm Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Carl Babinski from the WGKA Weather Center, powered by AccuWeather.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
Of all the things I think about every day, stroke wasn't one of them. Then my brother, who always took care of himself, had one. I was telling my doctor, and he said 4 out of 5 people who have a stroke never show symptoms. And he said 80% of strokes can be prevented when identified early. So I decided to get screened by Lifeline Screening. In about an hour, Lifeline Screening did a series of non-invasive screenings using sonograms to look inside my arteries and determine my risk for stroke and heart disease.
If you're over 50, Lifeline Screening has screening packages that can help detect the warning signs, so you can prevent a stroke and heart disease from happening to you.
When I got the results, I went to my doctor, who developed a treatment plan. Now, I know I'm doing the right things to keep healthy.
Lifeline Screening's community health screenings are coming to your neighborhood. Appointments are limited. Make yours now. Call 888-956-TEST. That's 888-956-TEST. 888-956-TEST.
You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky?
That's beautiful. I believe that was Clint Eastwood again. We have a caller on the line, Chuck in El Paso. Chuck, are you with us out there tonight?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing fantastic. Welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend. I got a lot of friends in El Paso. In fact, I want to give a quick shout-out to my boys, Caesar and Renee, who, Renee, by the way, just picked up a brand-new Ruger 345. Congratulations to him, and congratulations to Cesar Cabrera out there, who is, I believe, at a wedding. Hopefully he's listening. If he's not, Cesar, congratulations on your Texas concealed handgun license training. Welcome to the crew, my friend. Stay armed. Chuck, what's happening out there in El Paso today? You're not coming down with that swine flu, are you?
No, not yet. It really hadn't been too bad in El Paso. I think the rest of the country's getting hit worse with it than we actually are here in El Paso. I wanted to say thanks for the great show you've been putting on. I know it's only your second one, but doing good. And I wanted to say hi to Kathy. I've never met her, but I send a lot of people to her website, and just wanted to say thanks, Kathy, for your website. I know it's helped out a lot of people.
Well, thank you. That's what makes it all worthwhile. That's why I do what I do.
Chuck, I take it you're a member of the USCCA?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate that very much and appreciate the call, Chuck. Thank you very much for joining in on the program out there in El Paso. I'll see you out there at Fort Bliss in a couple months when I get out there. Now, hopefully it won't be that long, but I like to get out to Fort Bliss and do some shooting. So thanks for joining the show with us tonight, okay?
Okay, and I'd like to touch on something if I could.
Go right ahead, my friend. Show's for you.
I wish you'd tell people to quit hoarding ammunition. I feel like it's unnecessary. It's just bringing the prices up, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there that really need it, and, you know, there's way too many people that are just stockpiling more than they'll ever use.
Well,
I don't think it's doing anybody any good.
Well, Chuck, let me agree with you. I don't think anybody should be hoarding ammunition. I think we should all be shooting it.
Oh, what a great point, Kathy. Yes, ma'am. That's a beautiful thing. Hey, you know, guys, I want to make a point here. I spoke with Larry over at Georgia Arms, co-owner, Friday, I do believe, and we're going to have him on the show, hopefully, if we're lucky. I'll be talking with him again Tuesday for about a 6 or 7 minute segment next week. And you're going to want to listen to this because he's got some great points to make relative to what he thinks is going on out there. And this is a guy who told me he's about ready to hang up a gone fishing sign for 3 months until he can get caught back up. And that's how bad it is out there. But I agree with you, Chuck. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, every paycheck, I try to get myself a couple boxes of ammo myself. So thanks very much, Chuck, for calling in. Appreciate you listening out there in the great city of El Paso, Texas. Kathy, we want to bring in Ms. Gila Hayes. Gila's got a list of credentials as long as my right arm and my left arm combined. Gila, are you on with us?
Yes. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and welcome to Armed American Radio. I'll tell you what, your list of credentials there is most impressive, and I've got a ton of questions here I'd like to get with you. I know we probably won't have enough time to get to everything, but you know, we've got, as you well know, Gil, as a trainer out there in Seattle, we've got Americans arming themselves right now at record pace. What should brand new gun owners be looking for in a beginning firearms class? Because I'm making the assumption here that the vast majority of these folks are going to get trained.
Well, Mark, that sounds real good, and that really is the first priority, isn't it? That if you get a deadly weapon, just like any of the other tools that we get, it would be a darn good idea to get the skills and the instruction in its use. I think the first thing that you want to look for in a beginning firearms class is safety. Not only instruction on how you should be safe with that tool, but a program that's conducted in a safe manner. And I would be pretty demanding about that. I'd take a hard look at the instructor, and when I'm talking about that, I want less ego. And I want more eagerness to share knowledge, so that it's something that the person can go in and get all of their questions answered and perhaps learn from other people's questions. And so, I want an instructor that solicits questions and is happy when you ask questions and wants to answer those questions. I want instruction that's going to pay attention to the laws in your particular area so that you don't run afoul of the legal system. And finally, because once we're talking about guns, it is for the most part adult education. I want someone that supports the doctrine or methods with explanations of why.
Gil, that's a great point. Let me. All that was fantastic, but I want to get a little specific here, mm-hmm. because with these new students out there, are you seeing? First of all, let me preface my question with a question: are you seeing a lot of new students come in that are purchasing guns for the first time right now?
Oh yes, and while we've always had a big part of the new gun owner trade, you are absolutely correct that people are buying guns in record numbers, and it is awfully good to see how many of them are taking it very seriously and understanding that possession of the tool doesn't really do much for them without the understanding of how to deploy it safely and what it's for.
I'm going to bet that maybe not a majority, and you can correct me on this, maybe it is a majority, but I'm going to bet my bottom dollar here that you've got a lot of fearful students coming in as first-time gun buyers looking to get trained that are trying to overcome their fear of firearms. Am I right there?
Well, yes, you certainly are, and I'll tell you what, there's few things that warms the instructor's heart like someone who will face that fear and someone who will get up that morning and say, I'm going to go get on top of this, and they take that risk and they take that step, and we know how difficult it is for them, and bless their hearts, you just can't beat that kind of spirit.
How do you do it? How does the instructor like you, as you know, it's tough sometimes when you know so much about your chosen field and your topic. I kind of like a parent teaching a kid how to drive. How do you handle that with someone that comes into you and says to you, you know, I bought this because I was afraid I might not be able to in the future for whatever reason. I want to learn. How do you start them? But and then they tell you, I'm scared. How do you overcome that fear?
First and foremost, I love it when they're honest enough to admit that they're frightened of it. To me, that kind of honesty, my goodness, that's just wonderful. One of the things I think that the instructor wants to look for is parallels into their own life, and particularly for those of us who have been shooting for 20 or 25 years, it's awfully hard to look back to when we were beginners and remember that trembly inside feeling. But, you know, hopefully we're all continually learning things, and one of the things that I remember is a few years back taking a motorcycle safety class and sitting on that bike and saying to the instructor, you need to understand something, and that is that I am scared spitless. And, you know, I would just assume that the firearms student said the same thing to me if that's how they're feeling about it, because then I know what their emotional setup is. The first thing that I'm going to tell them, and I think this is real important, is you can take that fear, you can take that emotional component, and you can focus that, you can redirect it into a very positive thing. And that means you're going to redirect that fear into flawless safety practices. And once they see that, they can begin to say, oh, this fear is not a bad thing. This is something that I can turn into a positive. And then as an instructor, I'm going to let them start slowly. I'm going to give them lots of explanation, certainly back to encouraging those questions. And if they aren't asking it because sometimes they're too scared or they don't know what questions to ask, that I'm going to take the risk of perhaps drowning them in information and in explanations with basic steps of what's involved in being safe with that gun and in the manual of arms for it. If possible, I'm going to want to begin their training with small caliber guns, and I realize that's not always possible, but if they're frightened, I don't want them starting out on a 45. I want them starting out on a 22 if I can. And inside of that, I'm just going to try to give them as friendly and supportive of an experience while remaining firm, but not necessarily harsh. And along those lines, I'm going to give them what I'd say giving them an out. And that is to say, if they need to step away and process the information they've received, I understand that that cup is going to fill up pretty quickly. And one of the things about formal classes that you take is if the class is taught in relays, that's to say half the people come up at one point while the other half observe and then vice versa, that relay gives that beginning student a real good break for processing time. And I think that helps a lot.
Well, if to kind of expand a little bit there, let's talk about prioritizing skills, because most of these people are coming in. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're seeing people coming in looking for a first time, teach me how to handle this. Are you then taking them into self-defense shooting? How do you start them there?
Sure, Mark. And one of the things I'd say about our work at the Firearms Academy of Seattle is our focus has always been exclusively on the use of firearms for self-defense. Yes, you can certainly take those skills and win shooting matches and those kinds of things, and you can be a shooter for enjoyment and pleasure. But our focus has always been on the self-defense equation. So if I was to prioritize, and I would say, I've got this beginning shooter, I know that I've got limited amount of time with that person, my priorities would be to start out, again, with safety. And then I'm going to want to know that I've given them a good look into and at least resources that they can continue to explore the when and why of when they would use deadly force, when that gun would be used, and times when it wouldn't be appropriate. Along those lines, I'm going to want them to take a hard look at, I think it's, I call it drawing that line in the sand, basically determining in advance what you will and what you will not fight over. And so those are all things that are not really gun, gun related, but they're self-defense related. Things like awareness and avoidance, understanding patterns of criminal behavior, force alternatives. And then I think then we get into proper equipment and we get into shooting skills. But you see what I'm saying, that there's so much.
I absolutely do. Gila and Kathy, hang in there with us. We've got some music in the background here in the headset. It means we're getting ready to take a break. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back with Gila and Kathy.
For a man who lost and laughed.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Do you want to get out of debt fast? No matter how much money you owe in credit card debt, all the information you really need is yours free when you call right now for your free debt review. When we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that we have decided to give everyone that calls today a free debt review. Absolutely free. That's right. Get your debt solution review absolutely free. Just call 800-895-0488. That's 800-895-0488 and get the free debt review everyone in debt should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-895-0488. That's 800-895-0488. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-895-0488. Again, 800-895-0488.
Now is the best time to buy a home. Why? It's a buyer's market with deep discounts on both new and pre-owned homes in Greater Atlanta. Plus, additional tax credits may apply for certain home purchases. Also, mortgage rates are the lowest they've been in nearly 50 years. So, who should you call?
Nobody knows Atlanta like Chris Monroe.
With nearly 20 years spent covering Atlanta from the ground and from the air, Chris knows Atlanta real estate like no one else. What you'll get from Chris is unmatched personal service. Call Chris Monroe now, 404-924-5520.
Talk radio at the center of the discussion. 920 AM WGKA.
Welcome back, everybody, to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters. It's a pleasure to have everybody joining us this evening. If you're interested in giving us a call here, join us on the program at 888-920-2665. 888-920-2665 or 770-226-0920, 770-226-0920. We are broadcasting live from the beautiful Buckhead section where it's just starting to get dark out here on the East Coast from the Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA studios. We've got Kathy Jackson, managing editor of Concealed Carry Magazine, and Gila Hayes from the Firearms Academy of Seattle with us. Ladies, I've got another question for you, Gila, specifically directed to you. If you can already shoot accurately, what benefits do you get from taking additional classes and training?
Oh, well, you know, we certainly get that, and it goes back to what we were talking about before the break, and that is that people get real focused on the equipment and on the actual shooting skills. And I think sometimes they do so to the exclusion of the things that probably keep us alive, and that is the broader perspective of the, you know, the self-defense question, awareness, alertness, strategies, or sometimes called tactics. And certainly we get people in classes who are excellent technical shooters, but they aren't quite sure how to apply those skills. And I think that classes should absolutely begin to give you those kinds of directions. I also think it's really critical that we learn the legalities of what to expect when we use the gun, and certainly afterwards, and also some understanding of the sociological implications of using force in self-defense. And, you know, the gentleman you had on last week, Massad Ayoub, is absolutely the leader in guiding armed Americans to understanding that information. And if you've not had the chance to train with Massad, oh my goodness, find a way to fill that void. And then finally, I think that the experienced shooter, if they're open and willing to learn, can really get a lot of help as far as corrections to smooth out unsafe gun handling or inefficient technique execution, things that just sort of work the bugs out of what they're doing. And sometimes you'll literally learn new or better techniques to how you were dealing with the use of that gun. So those are just some beginning things that you can absolutely get, even if you're a very good marks person.
Gila, I want to jump away from something here for a second. I want to get away from the gun for self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I told Massad last week that I saw a commercial. You know, I was up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, as I'm prone to do from time to time. And I heard the words personal defense emanate from my television screen. And that's not a combination of the English language that you hear quite frequently at 2:30 in the morning on your television.
Hmm.
Not when you're watching just a regular channel. And what I saw was a self-defense infomercial selling the taser. And I'd love to get your opinion on this. Now, Massad gave us a pretty solid answer on that last night. Now, I know that you all handle non-lethal instruction as well. Am I correct?
Not so much. Our main stock and trade really is with the firearms or related things like handgun retention and disarming training and that kind of thing. Having said that, we had a little bit of fun. Gosh, maybe a person shouldn't use that term for it, but we did. We had a little bit of fun with the Taser C2, which is the model that Taser is selling to the private citizen, when I was doing the research for my next book, Personal Defense for Women.
That is the product that they were hawking on the infomercial, by the way, that's the C2.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it's real interesting. Now, we had been exposed to Tasers, of course, in our law enforcement experience, and so it wasn't as if it was anything that was really, really new and earth-shaking. But we did have the chance to discharge a couple of cartridges. We had a couple of willing test subjects, bless their hearts.
Were you one of them?
Pardon me?
Were you one of them?
No, I've not taken the ride.
I don't want to ride that lightning either.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you and I are on that same.
Kathy, how about you?
I'm a little bit ashamed to tell you that I haven't, but I haven't, and I seem to have. It was very interesting.
Now wait a minute, Gila.
Yeah.
You did at least do the drive stun.
It was shocking. but no, it was really interesting. There was a couple of gentlemen that I seriously thought were going to run over each other's backs to get in line to have the probes put in their clothing. You don't put the, generally when you're doing a test subject like that, you don't just absolutely put the probes in the person. You put it in their clothing, and that makes the circuit, and they twitch, and it's, you know, very interesting.
What would you recommend if for someone that says, I don't want a gun for self-defense, I'm not willing to learn martial arts, I'm 250 pounds, I'm out of shape, I'm not going to get off the couch, but I want something in my purse or I want something on my right hip that isn't going to be a 9mm or 45 caliber projectile. Is this an effective alternative?
I think that the Taser, like any of our alternatives, has absolutely got a place. But I'll tell you what you're missing with that scenario is that kind of an attitude is looking for the magic bullet. And I've got to tell you, there is no magic bullet. There is no magic device. It starts in our brains. It starts in our heads. We have got to be willing to modify how we live and how we think about things. And to some degree, and I say this as a 52-year-old woman who continues to try to stay fit, we have to modify to some degree, you know, our ability physically to protect ourselves, because again, the taser and many other things, whether it's pepper spray or carrying a knife or whatever it is, and really the gun too, there's no one thing that we can use that's going to say this is the one thing that'll save my life, because self-defense and the crimes that we defend against are so varied that we need a variety of skills. Now, the taser, I think, comes on into its own perhaps in areas where firearms possession would be restricted. Again, as you said, perhaps for women who just aren't going to take up the gun. But it's got its limitations. Now, we are beginning to see people tearing the probes out before the circuit's closed, for example. Sometimes only one probe connects, and then the only way you're going to complete that circuit is to go in and do a drive stun, and then what do you do? Because you can't just keep shocking them. You've got to get out of the situation somehow. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. How many times have you watched Cops and seen three big strapping officers take down the guy who was just tased? Now, here comes the controversial statement from your host, okay? Here's the deal. If tasers were an effective primary weapon, wouldn't we take guns away from police officers?
Well, that's a shocking thought. And you know, we saw the same thing when pepper spray came out that that goes back so far that I'm really dating where I was at in the system at that point. But, you know, we really thought that it was going to be the next big thing that would change how we fought with criminals. It's really gotten to where people understand how it works and know how to defeat it. Now, the taser's got a lot more strength because if you can get that circuit going, you know, and then set the device down and run away, which is what they tell you to do for the citizens model, it can be pretty debilitating for the person taking the ride.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And I know, like I said, I'm not going to ride that lightning. There's no way you're going to get me in front of that thing.
Maybe sometime you and I should just go and do it together, and we can you know, egg each other on. Mark, if you do it, I'll do it.
Gila, you got a deal there, and I'll tell you what. Fortunately for me, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're out there near Seattle, Washington. Kathy, I've got to direct this question to you here real quick. It's not really a question, but I want to get your thoughts on this. I pulled this off the internet today. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, 27% of American women keep a gun in the house, and 37.6 million females either own or have rapid access to guns. Are the two of you seeing that statistic as accurate?
I think so. We're certainly seeing an awful lot of women, especially in the lower level classes, the beginning classes. I think we have seen a jump in the percentage of women in those classes, which is a wonderful thing.
Interesting. Kathy, Gila, I want to thank both of you very much for joining us tonight. We're coming to the end of the program, and I want to get some plugs in for next week. Everybody pick up Gila's new book. Gila, go ahead and pump it real quick.
Thank you, Mark. Coming out this fall, published by Krause Publications, Personal Defense for Women. And thank you so much, Mark. It's been delightful spending this time with you.
Likewise, yes. And I hope you can be a regular on the program. Kathy, we'll talk to you soon. And, folks, we've come to the end of another segment of Armed American Radio. I'd like to thank both my guests, Kathy Jackson and Gila Hayes, for joining me this evening. Join us again next week when it will be my extreme privilege to spend the hour with Mr. Dick Heller and the absolutely brilliant mind of the president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, Mr. Dane von Breiken-Ruckhardt. Folks, you don't want to miss this. This man is brilliant, and Dick Heller is an inspiration to all of us. I promise you, you don't want to miss next week's show. If you haven't done it yet, please visit and join the United States Concealed Carry Association at usconcealedcarry.com. Also visit my website at theamericangunfighter.com. Be a patriot and join the blog. You may also visit us at armedamericanradio.org. The website's not completely finished yet. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA, and we'll see you next week.
WGKA. Atlanta, a servant.